Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey. Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
This is Grind Season. I'm Jason Smith, one of your two co-hosts here on Grind Season, on the podcast, on Odyssey, and co-host of the Jason and John show here in Memphis, that radio show from 11 to 2. Monday through Friday on 929 FM ESPN and Odyssey Station. This is my man, Anthony Sane, the tribal chief of Grizz Twitter, a gifted mind and colleague who's covered the Grizzlies, I point out, in written and podcast form for the last 9 years. You can follow him on Twitter at Sane Asylum. Brother Sane, what up, man?
What it do, man? I'm good, brother. Tough loss last night. Still recovering from that. But yeah, it's all good.
We'll get to it. Because a lot to break down, to your point, from last night's loss. A lot of news out of the game. You got some coming in. You got some going out. First things first, you can listen to us on Grind Season twice per week on the free Odyssey app and wherever else you get your podcast. Just search for Grind Season. Keep a couple of good dudes on these podcast airways by pushing that subscribe button, right? Let me break down what we're going to talk about on this show. On this episode of Grind Season, lots happened, like we said, since we last spoke, even though it was just 2 days ago, because in that time, Jaren Jackson has come back, Jaren Jackson Jr. Desmond Bain, who had been absolutely rolling offensively, has been ruled out now for at least the next 2 to 3 weeks by the team with a grade 2 toe sprain. What's that? What's that saying? Is that turf toe?
Known as tough turf toe.
As turf toe, and Bane does play that way. And then without Bane, obviously, as Sane mentioned, the Grizzlies dropped a 113-102 decision Tuesday night at the Pelicans. So Memphis is 9-6 for a little reset here. Dropped two in a row with a home game coming up against Oklahoma City this Friday. And that's where we'll start in terms of running down this show. It's now back-to-back losses without Desmond Bane. Yeah, and it's now 0-3 this season for the Grizzlies without Desmond Bane. So Memphis has done well with injuries going back to last season when Ja Morant was it. And I just mean in terms of not just staying afloat when guys have gone down, but actually, you know, remaining a good to outstanding team when guys have gone down. With Bane gone at least the next 2 to 3, you know, we'll ask Sane, what do you think here in terms of replacing him? Seems to me like saying it might be tougher for the Grizzlies in terms of how they're built to replace Bane's production than it has been, you know, to replace Jaren early this season, Ja last season, Dylan Brooks for portions of last season. So we'll get into that. How tough will it be to replace Bane? Jaren's return, what we saw last night from him, you know, we mentioned a little bit of rust offensively. I think you expected that. A little bit of elite. Come back, get 5 blocks. Well, last saying what he thought about Jaren's debut in terms of this season, missed the first 14 games. We were all excited, obviously, to see him. And then finally, saying I'm excited to get to this. I almost wanted to make it the first.
I almost want to start off with this,
But I'm going to save it because I want you to save it. And I think we're both in the same place. Charles Barkley last night on TNT said something that, you know, we're used to Charles at times saying some dumb to silly things. That said, we all hold him in high regard. And last night on the TNT broadcast, obviously the Pelicans, Memphis broadcast was on TNT. Charles Barkley said something very specific about the next step in Ja Morant's development that I thought, you know, I'll be honest with you saying I had missed until the middle of the day today. It had kind of gone under my radar. Had a lot of people, though, last night, including Ja Morant, up and mm-hmm. talking about it. So we're gonna get to that later in terms of what Charles Barkley said about Ja Morant upset a lot of people around here. Mm-hmm. But again, back to one, Desmond Bane, a guy who's what, averaging 25 sane this yep. season. Feels like he's taken another leap in the development. I don't know how many of us thought the step would be this high for Bane. We're what, now in year three for him, but he's been more than just a guy who's scoring 20-something points a game. He's been a playmaker this season. You get the news that he's going to miss at least the next 2 to 3 weeks before re-eval. You know, how tough is it going to be for the Grizzlies, who last night, saying against the Pelicans, replaced him with John Conchar? You get 9 points in 37 minutes. As much as I loved him, it's not coming close to what you have in there with Bane. How tough is this going to be, saying, to fill the void here for the Grizzlies, who've been good at this historically? Is it going to be tougher with Bane?
I think it's going to be very tough. I like what you said about even questioning if it's harder missing Bane or missing Jaren. I think when you're talking about one of the elite, like, top-tier shooters in the entire NBA in Desmond Bane. I think that when you lose that type of guy, and if you got outside shooting, it just makes everybody's job easier because you can only play Ja Morant a certain way if you got guys that are you know, getting those shots up. John Conchar last night, 9 points, 8 rebounds. Great. He only took three-pointers the entire game. You were able to play Ja a little differently. You could be able to play everybody a little different because the paint, you can sit in the paint a little more. You know what I mean? I think that losing Bane is a big deal. I'm worried about it. with Jaren's thing and also with Zaire's thing, they were pretty solid about the end date. You know what I mean? With Jaren, it was, you know, 4 to 6 months. You know, you'll see Jaren in about 4 to 6 months. With Zaire, it was, you know, you'll see him in 4 to 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. This is reevaluation in 2 to 3 weeks. It doesn't have a yeah, he'll be back in a minute. You know, this is Turpto. He'll be back soon. I don't know, man. And he's one of those guys. he's a bigger guy, stronger guy. Got a lot of weight he's throwing around. And, you know, he kind of plays not like a herky-jerky style, but a lot of forward movement with him. So, like you said, his style of play may have contributed to the Turpto injury. I hate it. We're not the same team without Desmond Bane. I'm seeing that now. I really want to say that at one time last year, people were saying, you know, Desmond Bane's a future all-star. And I would kind of, you know, scoff at it because I was like, okay, Bane's great. He's a great shooter or whatever, but he's not consistent. He has games where he doesn't really show up at all. Desmond Bane has been extremely consistent this season. You know what I mean? He hasn't played all 15. In the 12 games he's played in, he's been very consistent in those games. And losing a guy like that, I think, is very, very, very crucial. Because it makes Ja have to work that much harder. In our wings, guys like Anthony Melton, guys like Kyle Anderson, they're not there anymore. And a lot of guys we were playing, they're fine, but in certain big, tight moments, it kind of makes you wonder, will those guys be ready? In last night's game, if my mood doesn't sound the same, if my energy is not the same, New Orleans Pelicans do this shit to me, man. They've had our number for years, going back to Ja's rookie year. Anytime it seems like they got any team with the pulse, it seems like they got our number, man. And it's kind of deflating. You're seeing Trey Murphy out there knocking down threes, a guy that was on the not that I'm saying he's better than Zaire or anything like revisionist history, but just the fact that, you know, we could have drafted that guy and our guys in street clothes. Like that just kind of gets depressing. With the whole Zaire Williams thing. And I'm not knocking Zaire because I think he's going to be a great player. But he's out there killing you. And you can just tell that they kind of built that roster to kind of slow us down because I guess they even talked about it on the broadcast yesterday how our organizations kind of mimic each other. I don't think they mimic each other. That's what they were saying. Like, nah, we were good before New Orleans was good. New Orleans is trying to get like us. You know what I mean? But
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real. Yeah, man, it's going to be tough without Bane for the next few weeks. I hope it's a true 2 to 3 weeks and he's back on the court playing in 2 to 3 weeks, puts you around Christmas time. Hope he's back, you know, for the Christmas Day game. I can't see him missing a lot of time. It does worry me that it is open-ended. Like, we'll check on this again in a few weeks type thing. But he's been absolutely phenomenal for this team, man. And we all know this is John's team. But the fact that he has clearly cut himself out to be that number two scoring option, I still think it's debatable whether or not Jaren's the second best player on the team for other reasons, defensively mostly. But Desmond Bane has been absolutely incredible. And we're going to feel this loss, man. We're going to feel him not being there. I know we've been known for guys stepping up, but we're asking guys that are kind of like third-tier guys to kind of step up now. Last year, when you're asking guys to step up, you're asking Desmond Bane to step up. You're asking Anthony Melton to step up. You're asking Kyle Anderson to step up. Those guys aren't here anymore. And now you're asking the John Conchars, the Santi Aldamas, you know, David Roddy, Jake LaRavia. You're asking those guys who don't have that experience to step up. So it's a different thing. But like I said, man, this Grizzlies team constantly surprises people. I'm tired of counting them out, because every time you try to count them out, they'll show you something. So we'll see, man. But I think it's going to be tough.
I do too. Of all the guys they've lost, and you know, we talked about Ja last year, how good they were without him, 20-5. A lot of that was Tyus and how good he was there. Jaren this year, Santi Aldama steps up in that hole. I'm glad you mentioned Zaire, because they haven't had him all season either. Nah. So you've had, exactly. But the plan had been always for him to be high in that rotation. And so you've had to fill that gap. You've had to fill that gap as well. This one does feel like it'll be the toughest, because you sit there and as good as Conchar has been in spots, and we talked about him. I said he brought the season in a couple of weeks ago. He's not equipped to give you, you know, because Bane has taken such a jump. Let me tell you what's amazed me most about him. We all know he's a sharpshooter. I think Shane, this year, it's up to 45% from three.
The numbers are nuts.
It's crazy, because the numbers in terms of his 3-point percentage keep going up. Yes, he's at 45% on 8.5 attempts, but it's how successful. I'll put it this way: how effective he's been going to the basket. I'll be honest with you, with his short wingspan, that he could be as effective going to the basket as a go-to-the-basket guy as he's been. And he's been amazing, whether it's been a little, you know, that little floater off the glass, or even getting off the finger roll with them little short arms, saying the dude has been amazing because it's unlocked. When he's a threat to get downhill like he is now, it's giving him more room to operate and get off some of those threes that he's shooting at an even higher percentage. The other part about it, saying he's doubled his assists. Like, you and I both talked about this now for, you know, the entire 5-6 episodes of the show. But he's now at, what is it? It's where's the assist? 4.8. Right. You know, last year 2.7. Mm-hmm. This year he's essentially doubled that as a playmaker. So when you take, you know, the efficiency from a scoring standpoint, but both getting downhill, shooting the three, but then the playmaking that he was doing next to Ja,
right?
I think that's part of the reason. It's the huge reason why they're 0-3 without him this season. Dude, he's become a key cog. And I think I realize that Dylan Brooks, better defensive player, maybe brings a different sort of energy that you still need. Jaren Jackson Jr., first team all D. But Bane's become so essential offensively. Like, you were touching on it there. I'm not sure he's not the second most important player on this team. You know, and we just talking a couple of years ago, it was Ja and Dylan versus Utah. Like, that was 1-2.
Yeah.
And here we are a couple of years later. And hell, Jaren's been first team all defense. And I still feel like Bane does it at such a high level. And now from both playmaking and scoring standpoint, that man, it does feel like it's going to be hard to replace. And I'd have a tough time making an argument he's not the second most important player on the team.
And Bane makes you feel super confident in the bumps you're taking with guys like Laravia, Roddy, Jiddy still, you know, those type of guys, you know, Santi, you know, it makes you think that there's a good chance that one of those guys is going to turn into the same thing again, like Desmond Bane is, man. He's been absolutely phenomenal. Like I said, I think we're going to feel his loss because he's been such a dynamic scorer, man. I mean, like, he can score. He's showing you can score, like, almost any way you want him to. And he's putting up crazy numbers. I was talking to Cam Rose, a good friend of mine, did the Outsiders podcast with him. I said, man, if it wasn't for Ja Morant, we'd be looking at Desmond Bane's numbers as historically the best, like, scoring average in Memphis Grizzlies history. I mean, look at the numbers. I mean, nobody's scored like 25 points a game in the season for us. I think Mike might have maybe got something close to that. I'll check it after the podcast. You guys can check me. But I don't think anybody, the numbers Desmond Bane's put up as the second best scorer on our team, I don't think anybody in the history of this franchise has ever scored that many points per game. I could totally be wrong, but I don't think I am. Mm-hmm. He's been great, man. He's been absolutely great, and I think we're going to miss him. Like you said, hopefully we can get Zaire back during this 2 to 3 weeks that Desmond Bane is out. I would like to see a lineup even that has maybe Zaire at the two, you know, or Dylan at the two, whatever you're doing. Play Zaire and Dylan together and kind of see if Zaire is a guy that can, you know, be in your starting lineup, man, because, you know, a lot of people are complaining about Dylan. I'm just kind of over it because I don't really think there's really a Dylan Brooks trade out there that really makes us better. That's another podcast to discuss. Maybe the next one. But, yeah, it's going to be tough without Bane for sure, man.
Well, I would think on a great deal of nights, you're going to get a better shooting game than the 6 of 18, 2 of 9 that Dylan Brooks gives you last night to help fill in that Bane hole. Like, he can have better night. We know it's going to be a roller coaster with him. And then let's be real too, once Jaren Jackson shakes off some of that rust, we're just talking about in ways of filling that Bane hole in terms of that productivity. You know, you're not going to see O of 7. You might see an O of 7, but some of those other nights, maybe there's a 3 of 6, a 3 of 7 in there, just in terms of, again, filling that production. You know, my point is that the Grizzlies can't expect the John Conchars of the world to do even a quarter of it. It's going to be up to other guys that are in there now. Hopefully Jaren Jackson can shake off some of that rust. And like I said, it's going to have to be a team effort like it's been every time they've had a man down. Here's the thing about it, Sane. The most frustrating part of it feels like, even though these guys are, what are we talking about, 23 years old for Jaren and Ja, 24 for Bane, we've seen them together for such a short amount of time. It was only 11 games last season that you had all of them on the floor.
Just the starting lineup of Ja, Bane.
You had all of them, 11 games last season. You had everybody. You feel like you're so close because at least you've got Jaren coming back, and then you get the news about Bane leaving.
It's like they traded out.
So to your point about New Orleans and that frustration level and watching them yesterday and Alvarado's like creating this little – funky little energy that's actually a good, you know, on their home floor is a great, you know, the fans are getting behind it, all of that. What's been frustrating is you haven't been able to have everybody yet.
Yeah.
Right. To know everything of what you got. Will Dylan fall in line when everybody's out there and Jaren's in the back playing defense? Like, we still haven't seen that yet. As young as this team is, that's the part of it we still got to see. And that the most recent, now you got to wait at least two to three more weeks to get back. Right? It's sort of been the story of this team for the last couple of seasons. Not having
Christmas. Anybody. Christmas, man. Sweet Jesus. Sweet baby Jesus in a manger in Bethlehem.
Man, let's pray to Jesus and have them all for Christmas.
Get all the guys on Christmas Day.
Oh, it would be, I mean, just that little bit of luck would be something, but that's sort of been the Grizzlies story now for the last season, at least the first part of this.